Hey everybody, welcome to episode 138 of Revisiting Sunnydale. I am Camila.
I'm Marcella.
is there a delay or did you forget who you are?
Sometimes.
So if you are one of our patrons, thank you, and you are watching the video. Hello.
Hello.
If you are not, then we've just got audio for you, but still, thanks for listening. But if you'd like to pop on over and enjoy the video as well, you can go to patreon.com/revisitingsunnydale and just sign up to kind of help us out, support us monthly for as low as $3 a month. And, you know, that would be extremely helpful. And we're trying to make more and more videos to, like, get stuff going to give you more $3 worthy content.
Content, yes. And as we're new at this, if we forget that we're on video.
Yes.
Please forgive us.
That's going to happen. You can also support us by following us and rating us and sharing the podcast. The podcast can be found just about anywhere you get your podcasts these days. And it's becoming easier and easier to find us, which awesome.
That sounds really creepy. I don't like that. We got to reword that next time.
What did I say?
It's becoming easier and easier to find us. No.
To find the podcast. Like, we are still hopefully very anonymous as to our actual physical locations. Because don't show up on
No. That's not cool.
It's not going to end well. Season 7, Episode 12, Potential. Original air date, January 21st, 2003. Written by Rebecca Rand Kirshner. Directed by James A. Contner. Buffy takes the Potentials to a demon bar and then to a crypt in order to teach them the art of slaying. When Willow casts a spell to seek out the next Potential, the spell leads them to believe that Dawn may be a future slayer.
Poor
important
baby.
Guest stars, I know. Tom Link as Andrew. Yeah, that's fucking Kennedy. Clara Bryant. Wait, Molly? Is Molly still here?
Nah, Molly's gone. Molly's long dead.
All right, Indigo is Rona.
Or no, see these? No, I actually think Molly's the British one. I think
right. Okay.
Yeah, there's two British ones. One's dead and one's still alive, and I think that's Molly.
Okay, so Indigo is Rona, Sarah Hagen as Amanda, Felicia Day as Vi, and James C. Leary as Clem. Side note, does anyone have eyes on James? Because I see that he's deleted his Twitter account, and he hasn't been on IG in, like, over a year.
I haven't heard anything.
So I know he suffers from, like, depression and stuff, so I'm, like, genuinely a little bit concerned about his well-being. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, this is, like, just getting off of social media is part of his self-care, which, great, whatever, you don't owe us anything, James. We just want to make sure you're okay.
We all need to do it every now and again, because it can be a very toxic place.
Good Lord, I know. Like, a place where it was just used to be about, like, stupid memes and what's your favorite fight scene in a movie kind of conversation. Now it's just like, people are just being assholes for no damn good reason. And it's
for no reason.
Bullying times 10. All right. So, like as the summary said, Buffy is finally starting to, like, for real train these Potentials.
Well, I mean, what else do they have to do? They sit in this house all day. They should be training. Otherwise, sign these bitches up for school. Keep your cover. You know, I don't know. Maybe tell everybody in Sunnydale that Buffy is now suddenly running a foster home. I don't know. How are you explaining all these teenage girls just hanging out at your house?
Right. Because they're all about, like, you know, I'm assuming 15, 16, 17. They're all high school age of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I was also wondering, like, how is Dawn keeping up with her schoolwork? Because she's, like, doing a lot of research and stuff. How's she doing?
Right.
How's Dawn doing?
How is Dawn doing?
So I would like to preface this episode with that watching it this time, and it's been a while since I've seen this one, and I don't know why, because it's actually very good. Like, I like it a lot more than I remember.
There are a few standout episodes in this season, because on a whole, this season is awful.
Right.
But there are a few episodes that are pretty good, and this is one of them.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's age, and I don't remember it when that last time I watched this episode, but I'm starting to get a soft spot for Dawn. Like, I'm like, in this episode, I'm like, Dawn, I see you. I see you.
Yeah. I see you, Dawn. Yeah. When Dawn was first brought out, it was like, okay, am I on drugs? Did I fall asleep? Where?
All right.
You just want me to swallow this child out of nowhere. And then you're going to take this show I love and focus on this child out of nowhere.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I hate her. Mm-hmm.
She's not.
But as an adult, I'm like, oh, this child didn't ask for any of this.
I know. So we'll get more into that. So now Buffy's finally training these gals, and she's using Spike to do it too, because apparently he doesn't have anything else better to do either. So
I guess being trapped in the basement, being crazy for 6 months, you're just fine the next week once you get a new dress.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So now he's like good enough to go ahead and let him just run about freely with these young girls. That's right? Cool.
Sure.
So they're doing their training.
I mean, he looks good.
Right. I mean, for reals. But they're doing their training in the graveyard in the cemetery, and Buffy's, you know, letting them spar-ish with Spike. And, you know, there's the whole, you know, what did you do wrong? And blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And then she shows them, so she tells Spike to come at her, and he does, and, you know, she, you know, gets the best of him, and she's on top of him, and they're all like, ooh, that's hot. And then she gets all like, you know, are you okay? Oh my God, are you hurting me?
Right. It was a little personal. Like, we ain't quite there yet, Slayer.
Oh, right.
Like, we're barely at you forgiving me for what I've done.
Right.
But now your hand is under my shirt trying to see if my ribs are okay.
It seemed a little out of pocket for her to be doing that, especially because poor Vi has been holding on to her wrist.
Careful, he might hurt your arm.
Right, since Spike quote unquote attacked her, and no, and she hasn't said boo to her. Like, this poor girl. Like, she's the human here.
And for like 20 minutes, she's still over there, like.
I just got an ice pack or something. Like, it was just if anybody has a sling type thing. No. You worry about Spike's, the vampire's ribs. You worry about that aren't broken, and he'll heal in 2 minutes. That's fine. But yeah, like, the girls all notice that this is basically like foreplay. Where Buffy and Spike are concerned, like Rona mentions, that's hot. And
I mean, it is. I mean, she's not
Molly's
wrong.
Molly's like, are we supposed to make out with a vampire? So Buffy's like, you know, speechifying and stuff, but it does come across in this, aside from, you know, ignoring Vi's hurt wrist, Buffy seems to be showing like a teeny tiny bit of compassion towards these girls finally, instead of just, you know, stomping around like, you know, I am the slayer. I know all the rules. She looks like she's actually trying to impart some wisdom.
And yeah. She
gives a shit about their well-being.
But she still has a day job, too.
Yep. Apparently. Somehow. So right after the opening sequence, the writers seem to have remembered, oh yeah, Buffy has a day job. Mm-hmm. So we come back to her day job.
Which is why I'm saying, why couldn't she just enroll these girls in school, keep them all together, keep them safe? Because who's protecting them when they're at their house? Them?
Yeah.
They all suck.
Maybe,
free food at the cafeteria that they could be eating instead of eating her out of house and home.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, missed opportunity.
Yeah. At the very least, they could be like, you know, and if they're not, if some of them are older than high school age, then maybe, you know, there's like the whole student aid kind of thing. Like, they're just like, you know, college interns.
Right. At the very least, they never enrolled Faith at Sunnydale, but she was always on campus.
Yeah,
I bet people were always wondering why she was just hanging out.
Yeah, never in a class, but she was always on campus.
She was always on campus. Even like she did that training test with Giles, or with Wesley in the gym on the track, like, so they should have, they just didn't properly use this season's a mess.
It's like, hide in plain sight kind of thing, like the cover of Sunnydale High School, because like literally, like Principal Wood doesn't know every single student. So he's not going to be like, he's not going to, like, this is brand, and also this is the brand new year for the brand new school. So nobody knows anybody. They're all coming from different school districts and, you know, whatevs. Oh boy. So, yeah, so Buffy is, I guess she makes mention that Giles is in Shanghai going to pick up another potential and nobody has heard from him just yet. It's fine. It's fine. It's not, no red flags people just yet, but she's brought like Amanda. Is a student that comes to see her to get some counseling. And Amanda, she seems to have a lot going on mentally.
This girl, I love this girl. She's so unique too, because everything about her is long. She is tall. She is thin. Her hair is tall and thin.
Right.
Her face is long and everything about her is long and thin.
Right.
And she is odd. Like, odd with a capital O.
She starts off with like, you know, do people think like, is it weird? People think I'm weird. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
say more things. I don't know. What else you got, Amanda? And I guess she starts talking about how she has a crush on a boy. And so she hits him and it's like, okay. And then she's like, you know, we pick on each other and I think we both like each other and we both hit each other. And I'm just like, Amanda, can we talk some more about your home life? Like, what are you seeing happen between mom and dad? Like, what's going on? And Buffy starts to over-identify a little bit too much.
Over-identify. And she has a tendency to do this in every, she manages to turn everything into the Buffy show.
Right.
Every time. But of course she takes it to her and Spike and it's over. It is definitely over. And poor Amanda's just like, okay.
It's like, that's cool.
And then Buffy comes home to a gigantic fight.
Which we never really find out anymore about.
No. It's just like the house is fucked up again. Like, seriously, I'm done cleaning this house.
It's like, you guys, you're fine living in filth, apparently. Like, I can't with you people. Like, you guys suck. So, there's all this bickering happening, and then Willow comes in and is like, Buffy, we gotta talk. Apparently, the seers, Athena and them, have alerted Willow that there's another potential, and she's right there in Sunnydale, and they're like, oh my god, how do we miss her? And then Xander has basically my burn of the week. He's like, so, they couldn't give us, like, an address or a name. He's like, am I getting the definition of seer wrong? Right?
And I totally agree. That is absolutely...
It's like, yes, that's absolutely 100% right. You have a point.
It's, you know, I don't know if it was the 90s, but I'm really noticing how thin everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real, like, all of these girls need to eat a lot of sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like a whole truck full of sandwiches. But they're all hanging out in the kitchen and someone has left them alone with the weapons. And I'm concerned for everyone's well-being.
Well, the one girl just, like, picks up a crossbow as Dawn walks across the kitchen and points it at Dawn. And, like, and Dawn makes a valid point. Is like, see, that's, you know, how accidents happen and shit. Or the headline reads,
right,
local teen killed in crossbow accident.
Mm-mm. They all annoy me so much, though. They're just not... There's no characters here. Like, there's the other than Vi. I really adore Vi, but there's no real character for me to latch onto or even care if these girls get slain.
Right. Yeah. None of them are very, they're all very flat. They all come across as very flat. And throughout this episode, we see Dawn kind of in the background and stuff. And Dawn, poor baby. Like, she's like going, she's constantly got this look on her face of like, you know, there's something going on in her mind or emotionally. She's, feels like she's being ignored or that she's not a part of it or she's on the outskirts and she just looks like, you know, I'm soldiering on, you know, she just seems a little hurt, a little sad. Mm-hmm. And this is what I am enjoying is that this is a quiet sadness and not her usual.
Like, get out, get out, get out.
Oh, right. Exactly.
But like at the same time, Andrew is feeling a lot of the same things that she is. And he just wants to connect, and he just wants, and no one will play, like, he just wants to play.
No one will play with him.
And no one will play, like, literally no one will play with him. And when they all go out on their hunt and Dawn is left behind again, he's like, do you want to play Dragon Ball Z?
Right. <It's> like.
And Andrew's trying to fit in. And then he makes this little comment about, they're talking about different, you know, what's going on. And Andrew's talking about how killing pigs is hard because he tried to kill that pig in the pit.
Right.
And he had such a hard time capturing it. And he's trying to fit in and identify and give them little anecdotes that he thinks are going to help him fit in. But again, everyone is just like, Andrew
does it. Like, Andrew, you need to work it through in your head first.
Right.
Before you say it out loud.
Right. And he never does. Never.
So Buffy and Spike take the potentials to go do more training. Willow and Andrew and Dawn are working on a locator spell because they need to find out who this potential is, and it's like got all sorts of icky things involved, including snakeskin and some other gross shit. Like, why does magic need to be so gross? Like, why
throwing a hard-boiled egg into the fire? That's not coming out of the house for a long time.
No,
you're not gonna. Have you ever burnt a hard-boiled egg?
No,
it smells real bad.
That's
real bad. I was boiling eggs once and totally forgot about them.
As one does, because nobody...
As one does.
Nobody knows how long it actually takes to boil an egg.
Right?
Because I
was doing a whole pot. Like, a whole pot of eggs. Like, half a dozen eggs. And I just went back to work and completely forgot. Boiled all the water out. The pan was black. And I was like, what's that smell? Oh, my God. So the faces they make when she throws that egg in the fire, I know what they're talking about. It is awful. And the spell works, except not quite.
Ish. They think that it's not working because this big glowy thing they make, it's glowing and stinking. And it's just kind of hovering around them. And then finally Dawn's like, all right, look, I got to open a door and air this joint out. And so she goes and then the thing like takes off and hits her. And she starts to be glowy with it.
Yep.
And they're like, wow. And actually, you know, that was like a pretty dope moment because I got chills when I watched it today.
I was so excited for her. I was like, that makes sense. She's made of Slayer blood. It makes sense.
What's funny is that later on, Willow brings that up again. She's like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you know, the whole same blood thing, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. It means nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So they all start to, like, spin out about what this all means. And, you know, Dawn, poor thing, she's trying to wrap her brain around it, and everybody's just, like, talking at her. And Anya, like, I get the sense that Anya is, like, truly concerned for Dawn's life. But she keeps bringing up and harping on, like, short lifespan. Short, terrible life. She's gonna die. And then someone else, you know, and Dawn mentions that, well, I only get to be a Slayer if Buffy dies. And... you know, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of confusion.
Yeah. It's like, and that is not necessarily true. I mean, look at Faith.
Right.
I mean, Buffy has died plenty of times. It's fine.
Buffy seems like, you know, she's a cat at this point. And so they mention, and this is something that I take kind of, I take offense to. They mention, hey, we got to tell Buffy right away. And Dawn's like, you know, they're like, oh, she's out with the potential. She's like, call her. She's like, she didn't take her cell phone with her why wouldn't you with all this nonsense and chaos going on?
Right?
Like, why wouldn't you want to be in the loop about what's happening? Like, you need to be in contact with these people.
Why do you have it?
Right. So anyway, she mentions that and she's like, she's with all the important people. And I forget who says it, but they're like, you're important now.
Mm-hmm. Now? Excuse me? It was always important.
It's like, that doesn't do much for my self-esteem. I was already feeling some kind of way. I've been feeling some kind of way for days now. And thanks for validating my feelings.
And she is very composed. Like, the Dawn of season 5 would have just flipped the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
She would have lost it. She'd have been screaming, crying, ran away. I mean, she does eventually one of those things. Leave, but yeah, she does eventually do one of those things. But this is a very composed adult Dawn, and I'm proud of her.
And then Andrew tries to join the conversation. Like, he comes in, I don't know, I guess he missed all this, and then he comes out, he's like, can we get a new microwave? And starts talking about popcorn, and then they fill him in, he's like, cool, and they start talking about, oh, it's like a metaphor for womanhood. It's like Andrew.
And Xander is all of us. He's just like, oh, for the love of God. Oh, my God.
He's like, I will pay you to stop talking, to start talking about something else. Or,
talk about Star Wars again. Please.
Yes. That's.
And he's like, fine. I mean, I had a valid point, but that's
right.
Fine.
No, nobody wants to. Nobody. No, y'all don't hear me, though.
Right. And after three seasons of life with Dawn, no one has realized that when she leaves the room, she doesn't really fucking leave the room. She's just around the corner listening to you.
Per usual, Dawn is eavesdropping and hears every just half-baked thought that everybody is saying. Like, she's gonna die. Yep. Like, Buffy's not gonna be psyched about this, and it's gonna be awful. It's gonna, like, all of the negative things.
Yeah, she's a child.
She's not ready. She don't know what she's doing. Blah blah blah. And it's like, okay. So Dawn, you know, I mean, she's not wrong. I feel like I gotta get out of here. I'm leaving.
Right?
She takes off.
Like, I need air. She's out. Like, yep.
So she takes off.
But she did put on a jacket before she left, so Joyce would be proud.
Yes, she didn't leave in a hissy. She just more was like, you know, I just need some time to myself, and I can't do this with everybody down there, basically just, like, you know, figuring out what I'm going to be doing on without me being involved. So, in the meantime, Spike and Buffy have taken the girls to a demon bar, and they run into
Is this
Clint.
The same demon bar where they played kitten poker?
It doesn't look like it.
But it's if I remember. Not Willie's place.
Right, so I guess there are several demon bars in
I was going to say, so we're saying there are at least three demon bars in Sunnydale?
I'm willing to wager that Willie's has been shut down for a long time. Wasn't there a point in time where Willie was, like, really close to death the last time we saw him?
He got beat. He was in the third season of Buffy. He was close to death when those female demons came to town and wanted to destroy the world. Right. But then he had reopened Willie's new place and he got raided by Riley, but he was fine.
That's
serving
right.
chicken fingers.
That's right.
Because the demons liked the fried food.
Right. And so I guess that was also the place that Riley was going to get.
Yeah.
Or when he first met up with his, when he met up with his first vampire.
Yep.
Prostitute.
And there's our little puppy Clem. I love him so much. He's so cute.
He is. And he's like, she's, and Buffy, it's funny because Buffy's talking about how, like, if you go into a place like this, then you have to show him you mean business and blah, blah, blah. And it's tough and angry. And Clem's like, Buffy, hey girl.
And Kennedy's like, he's really ripping her throat out. Hey. First of all, she has lived in Sunnydale for six seasons now.
Right.
She has developed some contacts.
Right, yeah.
She's got allies. She's got a whole network.
Exactly. You know? It's like the same would happen if, like, a cop went into, like, some skeezy bars. Like, more than likely, this cop has some folks with their ear to the ground. Like,
right.
Some of these criminals. Now, have you never seen Law and Order, Kennedy?
Right. But Buffy, Dawn has also never learned anything from Buffy, and she's out walking the streets of Sunnydale by herself, and she runs into Amanda.
Yeah, she also doesn't have any weapons with her, so, you know.
Nope.
How do you walk the streets of Sunnydale at night, being the Slayer sister, or anybody who knows the Slayer, just living in Sunnydale, because you have seen some shit living
right.
in Sunnydale. How? No one, just keep a fucking stake in your pocket. Like, why?
Right.
How is this so hard? Anyway, she runs into Amanda.
And they're all just kind of hanging out. Well, talking, you know. Dawn is just saying, Amanda asks if she's okay, and Dawn's like, I'm just walking. I'm fine. But she notices that Amanda's got a big old cut on her forehead. So she's more worried about her. And yeah. Amanda's just telling her it's been a weird night.
Yeah, I was at school with swing practice, ripped my sweater, went to go mend it, everybody was gone, then I ran into this guy with a fucked up face, and then he scratched me with his teeth on my forehead, and I locked him in a room, in a classroom, and left.
Okay.
Okay.
Number one, he's still in the classroom. And number two, he scratched you with his teeth on your forehead. And again, Buffy doesn't have her phone, so Dawn can't call her Slayer sister to say, hey, we've got a vamp trapped in the school. She says, dun-da-da-da, I'm a new potential, let's go deal with it ourselves.
Yeah, Amanda had mentioned, she was like, I'm on my way to go see your sister because folks be talking. Right. they say that she knows about this kind of stuff. She's like, or some people say she's a high-functioning schizophrenic.
I mean, the secret should just be, I mean, she did blow up the high school. Like, every parent, students, everyone saw it. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah, we were all there. We all, right. Like, anybody who was present, at least a half of that town knows
right.
about what had happened, 2 years ago at this point?
Yeah. So, of course, they go off to the school and find said vampire locked
in the room. Why didn't he leave?
I don't know. I guess when they're new and out of the box, maybe they get confused. It's like, it's just like, well. I mean, seriously, what were you going to do when the sun came up? Were you just going to burst into flames or like,
well, like
I don't
get it. They get there and they go to the classroom that he's supposedly locked in. Dawn opens the door. She's like, I thought you said you locked the door. She's like, I did. And Dawn opens the door and the dude is like hanging in the ceiling.
So that's what he was doing the whole time. They were going, let me test my powers. What can I do?
Stop. So he unlocked the door and then just hangs there? Like, was he just like assuming she'd be back? I don't.
He's just swinging like a bat.
This makes zero sense. Like, what? Like, make it make sense, vampire. Like, you don't have anything else better to do? Like, I'm like.
She is a tall drink of water, and he wanted to finish her off. It was his first kill. But maybe it's his initiation into some vamp swing choir band, maybe? Maybe he's got his own swing choir.
God, it's like, she'll be back. Oh, she'll be back.
I'm going to get that long one. Which, girl, if you don't tie your hair up.
Oh, my goodness.
Both of you. You got long hair, and do you know what things can grab onto when you're in a fight?
Right.
Your hair.
Like, it's so ridiculous that they would be, that Dawn wouldn't just come out of the gate, just like, have just like a scrunchie ready to go. All right, let me tie this up. Like, Amanda, I suggest you do the same, because shit's going to get wild.
Mm-hmm. And for a split second, you can see Dawn has, like, a certain sense of pride. And, you know, she wants to do this. Which, you know, your sister is the Slayer. I don't know why she hasn't been training you all this time. You really should be a badass.
But no, they end up running. This whole entire time, she should have been training for years with Buffy. Like, Buffy talking about she didn't want her to experience that world. Like, it's always coming at her. Like, there's no fighting it. Like, you can't do that. Just because you don't train her to fight isn't going to help. That's not going to keep her from this evil. Like, it's going to get her killed.
If you're not willing, because you have a calling and you need to stay at the Hellmouth, that doesn't mean she needs to. You could have sent her away to boarding school. You could have sent her off to live with your aunt that lives in Chicago or wherever. Right. Like, she could have lived with your dad. Like,
true story. Yeah.
Many different... If you did not want her to be trained, you should have sent her away. But instead, you let her be a clueless little idiot.
Right.
Living in your house. But at least she's smart enough to grab the fire extinguisher and attempt to defend themselves. Why does he run with his claws out? Like, this vampire is
I hope he's only a couple hours old, because this doesn't make any sense to me. But, like, his outfit suggests otherwise. Like, he's been...
Right.
Like, around
he's dressed
for a while.
Like, I don't, like, Slash from Guns N' Roses?
From, like, a smooth 1983.
Right. And he runs with his hands out. Like, it's the weirdest thing.
It's so terrible. What I do, just to further illustrate how kind of lightweight off that Amanda is, or is Amanda all of us, she kind of sort of suggests that maybe we could just kind of lock this vampire in the auditorium with the marching band who looks down on swing choir. Like, Amanda, this got dark kind of fast.
It's, you know, it's those things where, it's those situations where you're just like, this is wrong. But like, if you've watched Stranger Things season 4, there's a moment with Elle where she's being bullied.
The way I cheered.
But yet in your heart, you're like, oh, you really should. Use your words, Elle.
Right. Like, in your heart, you're down here. But like up here, it's just like, yes.
Yes. Get that bitch. And that's how. Yes. And that's how Amanda feels about marching bands. Just right. Fuck them. But Dawn has to be the no.
No, we can't do that. No, murder by vampire is still murder. Still, we can't do that. We need to talk about Kevin them. That's not okay. Right? So in the meantime, Buffy is like, the vampire sees him and he starts to chase him, or I don't know, they start a scuffle. And this begins like a great sequence of television, because Buffy is, and the girls have arrived at a crypt, and they start talking about where vampires can live, like anywhere, blah, blah, blah. One of the girls asked Spike, what was your place like? And he was like, you know, I don't want to use the word posh, but, you know, I got some style, some swag to it. You know how we do it. And Buffy was like, it was comfy. And they're all like,
excuse me?
When'd you find it comfy?
Right?
What was you doing? And then Buffy and Spike has like a little smirk, like, she said it was comfy.
I knew it.
I knew she liked my shag rug.
And we'll not talk about the stock pit underneath. But.
Right. So they're like tooling around in the crypt, and then, you know, they find a body. But Buffy checks out. It's like, nope, not a body. It's a brand spanking new vampire. He says, this is a killer. And he wakes up and is like, hey.
This is a vampire, though. Like, at least he's a little menacing and he's giving them some fight. The slash vampire, you know, at the same time, these scenes are intercutting back and forth between that fight and the fight at the school.
And Buffy's saying things like, know what's around you, know how to use it in the hands of a slayer. Anything is a potential weapon. And Dawn is like, you know, tossing beakers at this dude. And then she like gets some sort of chemical on him, and then she like finds a flagpole, breaks it, and starts to like swat it at him and stuff. And she's getting him. And then finally, like, she sets the room on fire.
Yeah. I mean, she's using whatever's around her.
Right. This, yeah. Sunnydale High School, not meant to stand, apparently. And how did this fire not just like go nuts? Like, how was it contained?
Cause I don't think... Well, I think because she's just using like the flame from the gas line.
That's right. And so he just catches on fire, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe?
Well, like the flag lights up a little and she's using it, and then like he overpowers her and she's screaming for Amanda to help her, and Amanda's just too scared. She's like, just in the corner crying, I can't do it. And then the windows bust open and in come the Harbingers. Nobody invited you. Why are you
like,
here?
Why are you here? How'd you get here? And then they go after Amanda, and Dawn's like, hey, you don't want her. And she's like, you want me.
You want me. And they're like, the fuck if we do.
Always the bridesmaid.
Uh-huh. And then they grab Amanda, because Amanda's just like, Jeff, who are you?
What is this? The night sucks.
Right. And what I don't get here is, in most cases, they would have just like walked over to her and stabbed her in the belly. I don't understand why they were picking her up and carrying her out.
Like, where were y'all going?
Right. Where were you taking her? And Dawn, right away, jumps into action, and she uses the gas line again, and she sets one of the Harbingers on fire.
That's right. Yes.
And then they both run, and that's when Amanda tells her that she came over to Buffy's house to see Buffy, and then this really big light hit her when she was in the door. She thought it was weird.
Right. Bitch. And so Dawn...
Like, what?
Why did you say that when I first saw
right?
you?
Well, and why did you leave? Why were you just like, what the fuck? I came here for help and I got hit. I at least would have knocked on the door and been like, some spooky light just hit me.
Coming from your house.
Was this your spooky light? Because if not, I'm having a really weird day. And you're still my counselor. But no, she just, no.
She's just like, fuck this, I'm out. So Dawn, she does a really brave and thing, and it's kind of takes a different form of a leader role. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, Amanda, look, I thought it was me. It's not. It's you. You got the power. You're the potential. You need to do this. This is your fight, not my fight. You need to do this. I have your back, but you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And Amanda's like, I don't want
to. Jack, I can't. And she's like, here. And she gives her the weapon.
Like, you gotta. And
of course, Buffy arrives in the nick of time.
Well, also, like, while this is going on at the crypt, you know, Buffy's still fighting this vampire, and then finally, like, she works her way to, like, the entrance to the door, and then, gets this dude all riled up and whatnot, and she and Spike leave and lock the potentials in there, like, with one stake. And it's like,
yep.
Get it.
And for a split second, it's like, well, if they die, they die. I mean.
That's a way to weed out the weak ones.
Yep,
That's how we do that. So somebody, at some point, you know, Xander and them finally realize that Dawn is missing. And somehow they get a hold of Buffy and they all get to the school in time to help with the Harbingers. And,
except for some reason, some technique has kicked in with Amanda that is not kicking in with the other girls. And she does kick that slash vampire's ass.
Yeah.
And she gets a dusting.
Yep. All by herself.
Mm-hmm. Which immediately makes her the belle of the ball. But she does have a great moment where she pretty much is like, Buffy, what the fuck?
Right. It's like, I come to you for help. I think this shit's going on. I get attacked by a vampire. Come to your house for help because you're all like, hey, come to my house if you need help. And I'm like, I need help. And then I get hit with something, this light, and I feel woozy. And I don't know if you guys are into drugs or whatnot, but that's not my bag. I don't want no worse.
And all the while, poor Dawn is like, it was Willow's spell. She's the new potential.
I know the look on her face. She's so depressed.
She's so bummed.
Oh, Dawn.
Poor Dawn. And then they get back to Buffy's house and they're all fawning over Amanda. And again, it's like,
I know. Oh. Then Dawn's just kind of like shuffling around in the background, just like, ho hum. And she's like, hey, I'm going to go do some more research or whatnot. And Buffy's like, great. And goes off to go kick it with the potentials. And then becomes the most beautiful thing that Xander has ever done in the history of this entire show.
Yep.
This is the best thing that Xander has ever done. I know y'all want to talk about him with the crayon and saving the world. That shit was lame. This right here, this is what winners do. Like, this is like, you know, these are men. This is a man's, like, I just don't even know. So, like, he's talking to Dawn, and he's, like, basically talking to her about how, you know, they'll never know how tough it is to be one of us. Like, how the difficulty is. Like, for 7 years, I just sit around and I watch all my other friends get more powerful around me. I got a witch, I got a slayer, I got, you know, Oz was a tiny little werewolf. But still, it's just me, the guy fixing the windows. And Dawn's like, but the windows did need fixing. It's like, that's not the point. I've been sitting around watching all this stuff happen, go down, and then, you know, it's not easy not being chosen and not being the one, being the special one. And then he goes on to tell her about how he watched her, like, how she thought she had the power. And I actually cried this time watching it again. I probably cried the first time. I don't remember. But that he watched her, you know, she had the power, and then he watched her. Look, she thought she was Miss Sunnydale 2003.
Yeah.
And she was, and when it turned out she wasn't, she handed the crown over, like, very gracefully and immediately. And, you know, and he tells her, you're not special, you're extraordinary.
Yeah. And
And he gives her a little forehead kiss.
And I have a completely opposite reaction to it. I hate it.
What?
I hate it.
I hate it. I love it so much.
I hate it because I know what happens in the comic and how this speech basically means nothing anymore once they give her powers.
Right.
Like, once they give her and knowing that they become a couple, it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole, like, I've been watching you all this time, and you're like, this is kind of, like, the first seeds of that relationship that they build in the eighth season. Jive. And it makes me want to barf. I used to see it as a sweet, sweet little conversation. But then you went, you made them date, and...
That's so messed up. Like, why would they do that?
And then they end up having a baby. And yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I don't like any of it.
No, that's not okay. Mm-mm. Like, why? No, so, why?
Nope. Mm-mm. Daddy liked. Daddy liked.
Yeah, that's apparently. Gross. It's gross.
So then it this whole conversation used to be very sweet and loving, and now it, like, once you know the whole story of Xander and Dawn, it takes on a whole different meaning for me.
Well, I'm glad I never read those issues of the comic, because, like, this is still, it's very touching and sweet to me. But yeah, it's wrong. And I always kind of thought
look back as a whole, when you look back, she's had a crush on him since she was 14 years old.
Right.
And it ends up with them being together. And it's like, ugh.
It's gross because, you know, I just couldn't see. It just doesn't sit well with me. Anybody that knew that you were basically an adult when she was a child. But I mean, you know, but yeah, but they also, in my opinion, like, they should not have given her powers. Like, why not just make her a watcher of sorts? And, like, just because, you know, that kind of...
Because this is a beautiful sentiment that he's relaying to her here, but then they threw it all away by giving her powers.
Shame. Shame, shame. What a waste. Mm-hmm. So if I guess if you want to hold on to what's near and dear to you in this speech, then don't explore the comics. So
you got to do like Willow does with Moulin Rouge and turn it off before the last chapter. Just
or as you know, like Phoebe and Friends, where her mom taught her to turn it off before.
There is one song in here. It's called "I Love You" by Silver Bullet, but that's the only actual song, and I think it plays in the demon bar. There's no standout music in this episode. Really, in this season as a whole, there's no real good music.
It's like they kind of got lazy. Did we just stop with the music supervision?
Well, we don't really see the Bronze that often in this season until later on. I think Faith takes all the potentials to the Bronze one night.
Yeah, she does.
We like when Faith comes to town.
Gets a couple of them drunk, I think.
All of them, I think.
So we got some bodies dropped here.
So many. One vampire was staked by Kennedy, one by Molly, one by Vi, and Rona was only mentioned. One harbinger of death stabbed by Buffy, one harbinger of death stabbed by Spike, one snapped by Buffy, so she stabbed one and snapped one.
Ugh. Wow.
And one vampire staked by Amanda. And I think that one... Was that one vampire staked by Kennedy, Molly, Vi, and Rona?
It had to have been, because there was only one vampire in the...
In that room.
Yeah.
Like, so unless... it's not like they all stabbed him at one time. So one of them had to have gotten the kill. So that's written a little weird.
Yeah, it is. Like, nobody knows who exactly killed him.
No.
It does pass the Bechdel test. And we do have some random trivia.
In the scene where Dawn talks with Xander, Andrew, Anya, and Willow about the possibility that she might be a Slayer, a boom mic is seen at the edge of the screen.
Oh, good heavens.
So when Anya says, "That's because you're part of something larger, like being swallowed by something larger," the mic can be seen right in the middle of the screen.
That's so jive, man. Mm-hmm. This happens more often than not and on the show.
It really does.
So the moral of this story is be humble when you don't have the power, and even more so when you do.
Love it.
Potential. So, you know, aside from all the creepy innuendo that gets pushed into the lives of Xander and Dawn in the comic verse.
It's still a great episode.
So awesome. Yeah, it's really good. Because I like that they did some interesting things with editing. And also Amanda does bring, you know, we finally have a potential of some sort of character, some sort of
yes.
personality that's there. Now we have somebody yeah. to root for, a new person to root for, because everybody else is just blah.
And she's a wonderful actress, too. She was on, Freaks and Geeks.
Freaks and Geeks. She,
yeah. And basically playing the same character.
Right.
It was a very, she's a very one-trick pony type of girl, right. but it's a good pony.
Yeah, apparently it's found her some success. She's mm-hmm. done all right with it. She's done all right. So,
and I would still like to know why Anya overall is still hanging out with this. She looks old.
Yeah.
She looks like a bank manager. She's not even dating anyone in the crew. You're not no. safe.
She barely likes any of them. Like, right. why hasn't she just up and left Sunnydale altogether, knowing
what
she knows?
It's her love for Xander. Like, she just won't go, because we know that Anya takes care of Anya.
Yeah.
She left during the graduation. She was like, come
right.
with me. No, I'm
right.
out. We know. But Xander changed her. And to her own detriment.
Yeah. So you can tell us your thoughts on potential by sending us an email with a MP3 file or, you know, a recording less than 2 minutes to revisitingsunnydale@gmail.com. We will play it on the air. Next episode is The Killer in Me.
Blech. Gross. I hate this episode so much. I hate it so much. It has...
This is a...
Not only do I hate Warren, I hate mm-hmm. Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And you've put those things together, and Amy's involved somehow.
Right. Right, yeah, you just pull Amy out of obscurity, just out of nowhere, just kind of like, fuck around.
She's still
like,
mad.
This is a useless episode, quite frankly.
Useless. It's useless.
Because I don't think it brings anything to the table. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. I don't recall it offering up anything new or anything
no.
like that to like help further the plot of the season. So
nope.